And it really comes down to your worldview. What are your biases when you look at the world? If you don't believe in millions of years, then you're not going to find millions of years. And conversely, if you aren't looking for a flood model, then you're not going to find it.
Glorifying God, proclaiming truth, and reclaiming America for Christ. This is Truths That Transform. Your host is Dr. D. James Kennedy, pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and president of Coral Ridge Ministries. Discover how to apply biblical principles and transform your world through Jesus Christ.
It is the height of bigotry to teach only one view of origins. You might think that statement was made by a creationist attempting to bring his view of origins into a public school classroom today. But the exact opposite is true. That is a quote from ACLU lawyer Clarence Darrow, who fought for evolution in the 1925 Scopes monkey trial. Amazing how that when the shoe is on the other foot, evolutionists forget all about open debate and equal access. And now we have a situation where only one view of origins is allowed, and that is the view of the evolutionist. But Clarence Darrow said that is the height of bigotry. And that is being demonstrated today in the case of a creationist book on the Grand Canyon. It is indeed a beautiful, gorgeous book, magnificent pictures, and it's factual and fascinating, but it just might be banned from the park bookstores. Why? Well, that's what we'll learn today from our guest, Tom Vail, author of the book, Grand Canyon, A Different View. He's a longtime guide in the canyon, even working for the park for a time. He is a past elected member of the board of directors for Grand Canyon River Guides, and he now runs Canyon Ministries with his wife, Paula. He joins us from the studios of station KPXQ in Phoenix, Arizona. And Tom, it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Truths That Transform.
It's an honor to be with you, Dr. Kennedy.
Well, let's just jump right in. You went from managing a corporate computer center to guiding rafting trips through the Grand Canyon. What caused you to make such a drastic change in careers?
Well, my first trip through the Grand Canyon was in 1980, and that was my vacation that year. And I got drafted to help row a boat through the canyon, and by the end of the trip, I was hooked. And 2 years later, I quit my corporate job to become a full-time rafting guide. That was almost 25 years ago, and at that time, I was not a believer. So I have to admit that, you know, my reasons may not have been all the best, but I knew then that the canyon was a very special place.
And as you say, even when you began working in the canyon, it took a while for you to come to faith in the creator of the canyon. And how did that come about?
Well, for the first 15 years of my career in the canyon, I taught the evolutionary model of millions of years and slow particle at a time deposition. But in 1994, my wife Paula and I met on a trip. And the second night of that trip, she shared the gospel with me. And about 3 months later, I accepted Christ. And it was the following year that we were married. And then in 1995, we started Canyon Ministries to provide Christ-centered rafting trips through the canyon. And I started learning and teaching the creation model. Canyon Ministry has developed to the point that we are now running trips for both Answers in Genesis and Institute for Creation Research.
So your book, Grand Canyon, A Different View, is the culmination of the changes in your own life. And what made you undertake such a fascinating and unique project?
Well, as I look back on it, Dr. Kennedy, I can see how this book has really been 20 years in the making. First of all, the Lord allowed me to learn the wrong model. Then, most importantly, through His grace, He brought me to Himself. And through the process of starting Canyon Ministries, He allowed me to learn the creation model and he put me in the paths of some of the world's foremost creation scientists. So when Master Books approached me about doing this book, it was pretty obvious that it was the Lord's plan all along. And then, most importantly of all, Dr. Kennedy, next to him becoming my savior, he gave me a godly wife who has supported and encouraged me throughout this entire project. And it's really to her that this book is dedicated.
Well, bless her heart. There has been a great deal of controversy about your book. It originally was accepted by the Park bookstores, but there were reports that it had been moved, and now it's under minute scrutiny. Tell us what's really going on.
Well, yes, it's unfortunate the book has come under quite a bit of fire by the evolutionary camp. Last December, seven presidents of major geoscience organizations around the country jointly signed a letter to the National Park Service asking that the book be removed from the bookstores. And the story of it being moved out of the science section into the inspirational section is really not true. That was reported in the Los Angeles Times. But the book has always been available in the inspirational section. It's an unfortunate that a relatively small number of people have turned this into really a legal issue about free speech and moved away from the message of the book.
You have worked in and for the Grand Canyon Park for many years, and you know that they, of course, have an evolutionary point of view. I'm sure you expected some resistance, yet you placed your book in their bookstore anyway. Why was that?
Well, simply because that's where it belongs, in my view. I mean, it's about the Grand Canyon, and visitors to the canyon have the right to see that there are different models of the origin of the canyon. Making the book available in the canyon was one of the original objectives of writing the book.
I see.
And plus, the book has 23 contributors, 17 of whom are scientists, 14 of them have PhDs in sciences like geology, paleontology, biology, etc. And these aren't mail order PhDs. They're from colleges like Harvard, Princeton, Penn State. So these people have a right to have their views in the park just alongside the other geologists.
Well, many evolutionary scientists believe that the Grand Canyon was formed by gradual erosion from the Colorado River over millions of years. Have you seen that change much over the years that you've been there?
I think it has, Dr. Kennedy. When I started in the canyon, almost everybody accepted a slow, gradual, erosional process of the canyon's formation. But today, many accept a model that includes catastrophic processes, but still over millions of years. And it's an interesting process because they don't all agree. George Billingsley, who is with the USGS in Flagstaff, has studied the canyon for 30-some years. And he was quoted as saying, scientists never have agreed about the age of the canyon, although most concur that the oldest formations are nearly 2 billion years old. A scientific symposium was held in 2000 to resolve the question of how the canyon was formed. It dissolved in acrimony and adjourned without consensus. So they can't even agree among themselves how the canyon was formed.
I've always wondered if the Colorado River created the Grand Canyon, the largest canyon, I guess, practically in the world. Why is it that other rivers haven't done the same sort of a thing?
Not only that, but it would have to flow uphill because there are the elevation of part of the area north of the canyon is lower than the elevation of the canyon itself. So it has to have to actually go through and cut through the Colorado Plateau in an uphill fashion.
Well, what is the creationist view of the creation and carving of the canyon?
Well, that's really a two-part question, Dr. Kennedy. First of all, how did layers get there to begin with, and then how was the canyon formed? The layers that you see in the Grand Canyon, if you stand on the rim and look across and you'll see the layers of the canyon, they look like almost pancake layers of materials laid right on top of each other. And those were laid down as a result of the global flood of Noah's day. And then the canyon gets formed later as a result of the receding of the flood. As the flood recedes, the model says that there were some very large landlocked lakes left in the area north of the canyon. They eventually breached their natural dams and carved the canyon catastrophically, probably in a matter of days.
And this water was trapped up in the Rocky Mountains and then broke through and...
Up in the northern Utah area. And everybody pretty much agrees that these lakes are there. You can find those lakes defined in evolutionary geology books.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does the actual physical evidence in the canyon weigh in on these theories? Does it favor one more than others? And if so, how?
Well, I believe the evidence of the canyon fits very well into the creationist model. It doesn't answer all of the questions, but nobody was there to see this to begin with. So we're never going to know this side of heaven exactly how this was formed. But there isn't any evidence that we find in the canyon that really doesn't fit into the creationist model.
There is nothing in the scientific evidence that eliminates creation as a valid explanation of origins. And thankfully, we still have outspoken creationists like Tom Vail to make that known. He and Dr. Kennedy return with more after a short break. You know, this is a crucial battle because the effects of godless evolutionary thinking are literally destroying our culture. And that's why Dr. Kennedy is launching a new outreach entitled Creation Studies Institute to provide you with a whole range of educational and inspirational resources. This national ministry will also bring the facts about creation to those who generally only hear the other side of the story. But he needs your help to get started and to continue the work of this ministry. If you can give a gift of $35, we'll send a copy of the beautiful and inspirational creation book, The Wonder of It All. You'll see creation depicted in majestic photographs, powerful passages from the book of Job, and moving insights from well-known creationists. And if you can give $50 or more, you'll receive The Wonder of It All, plus a DVD containing one of Dr. Kennedy's most powerful creation messages, along with 5 video features on the creation-evolution battle. And finally, you may request a copy of Tom Vail's book, The Grand Canyon, A Different View, for a gift of $15 or more. Request any or all of these resources when you call toll-free 1-800-229-WORD. That's 800-229-9673. We'll tell you more later, but right now let's rejoin Dr. Kennedy and Tom Vail.
Well, what is some of the evidence that does lead you and others to believe that it was created suddenly and not over tens of millions of years?
Well, to me, probably the most significant one is the layers I was just talking about. If you look at, stand on the rim and look across at the layers, they look like they're very defined layers of material. And as you walk into the canyon and you get to those contact points, you find that they are very defined points. They're almost desktop flat surfaces. And to the evolutionist, that contact point represents tens of millions of years of missing materials. In fact, some cases over 100 million years of missing material. But you don't find any physical or chemical erosion in those layers, which means those layers had to be exposed for 10 million years or more, and they're still just as flat as the top of your desk. And it's not just in one point. That contact point stretches across the entire Colorado Plateau.
Well, the vast majority of Western scientists at one time favored the creationist view of origins and of the Grand Canyon. Give us a brief summary of how all of that changed, won't you?
Well, prior to the late 18th century, the predominant view of Europe and America was that God created the world in six literal 24-hour days, about 4,000 years before Christ. About 1,600 years later, the world was judged by a global catastrophic flood of Noah's day. It wasn't until later that people like James Hutton and Charles Darwin popularized the uniformitarianism assumptions, which became the ruling dogma of today's geology.
Explain for some of our listeners what uniformitarianism means.
It's a concept that everything happens in slow, gradual processes, and that what we see today is proof of what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All of these things change because various people and scientists accepted the evolutionary and uniformitarian concepts of Darwin, Lyell, and Hutton. Is that right?
Exactly.
How important is a scientist's bias when he looks at the evidence? You know, science would like us to think that scientists are purely objective and they don't have their own biases, and they're just simply telling us the facts, and therefore they should be believed more than other people. Is that really true?
I don't think so, and I think Dr. John Morris sums it up well in his statement that if I hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have seen it.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn your tape over.
And it really comes down to your worldview. What is your premise, and what are your biases when you look at the world? If you don't believe in millions of years, then you're not going to find millions of years. And conversely, if you aren't looking for a flood model, then you're not going to find it.
It reminds me of a statement I heard from Sir Julian Huxley. And as you know, Sir Julian Huxley was a descendant of Thomas Huxley, who was Darwin's bulldog and popularized evolution in the 19th century, especially in England. And Sir Julian Huxley was also the president of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization. And until his death, about a decade or so ago, he was the most famous and prestigious evolutionist in the entire world. And I heard him say one time in answer to a commentator's or interviewer's question, the question was, why did so many scientists leap at the Origin of Species when it was published? And this is what he said. Now, this is the most prestigious evolutionist in the entire world. And he said, I suppose that the reason that we leapt at the origin of species, was that, I've often wondered, if you asked college seniors or high school seniors to finish that sentence, what would they say? Why did scientists accept evolution? And they would say because Darwin presented such overwhelming evidence that their integrity as scientists required that they accept it. Well, that's not what the greatest evolutionist in the world said about 10 or 15 years ago, which I heard with my own ears. He said, the reason that we leapt at the origin was that the concept of God interfered with our sexual mores, unquote.
I don't doubt that at all.
I think that is an incredible statement that certainly does not lead one to trust in their objectivity and their lack of biases. Well, I'm sure that you have impacted a number of people as you have taken them down the Colorado River and have explained many of the things in the Grand Canyon. You recall any instances of people who have had significant change in their views as a result of looking at the evidence?
The one that comes initially to mind is a geologist that was on a trip with us, and he had been raised in a Christian home. Typical story, went off to college, learned the millions of years of evolutionary theory, and because of that, walked away from his faith. And he was on a Canyon Ministries trip with us, and we were looking at some of the evidence in the canyon. And I looked up at the layers that we talked about earlier in the canyon. I said, okay, consider the fact that there's no physical or chemical erosion between those layers. Even though they're very massive, there's almost a mile high formation here. How did they have to get there? And he looked at him for a minute, and you could see the wheels turning in his head. And finally he said, had to be a flood. And that evening in camp, he was questioning where he could get more information about this flood model.
Very good. You told him you just happened to have a book.
Just happened to have some resources for him.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Well, is there anything that our listeners can do to help in this controversy?
Well, they can. The controversy is not over. The status of where the book will be in, or whether or not it'll be in the bookstores, is still firmly planted in midair. But they can still contact the National Park Service and let them know that they feel the book and similar books like it have a right to be heard in the Park Service.
Well, now that would certainly be an open view, and certainly would fit in with the statement that to have only one view of origins taught is the height of bigotry, as we heard earlier today.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly thank you for compiling such a wonderful resource as your book, Grand Canyon, A Different View. It can certainly benefit you and your family in many ways, and it is so beautiful, inspirational, and informative. I hope that many of our listeners will get a copy of it. It is instructional. Science from a creationist point of view is there for your children and yourself. And a gospel outreach is also included for those who love the Lord and would like to share that with others. And especially those that love the great outdoors will be thrilled with the pictures that are here. Our guest today has been Tom Vail, author of Grand Canyon, A Different View. And Tom, we thank you for being with us today and for helping us to understand the controversy surrounding this issue.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Kennedy, and may the Lord continue to bless your ministry too.
You've been listening to a discussion between Dr. James Kennedy and his guest, Tom Vail, author of the extraordinary book, Grand Canyon, A Different View. Dr. Kennedy returns with a final word in just a moment. First, though, it's important to understand this issue is not one to be taken lightly. Evolutionary thinking produces meaninglessness and lack of responsibility, and that's why we must boldly proclaim the truth of Genesis. That's also why Dr. Kennedy is launching a new outreach called the Creation Studies Institute, or CSI, to provide you with seminars, radio programs, books, creation science centers, and much more to do just that. But we need your help to get started. A faithful donor has already agreed to match your gifts to this project and the ongoing work of this ministry. So if you can give $35, it becomes $70 when it reaches our door. And we'll say thank you by sending a copy of the amazing creation book, The Wonder of It All, containing breathtaking photographs illustrating the creation account found in the book of Job, along with quotes from your favorite creation scientists. If you give $50 or more, we will also include a DVD of Dr. Kennedy's newest creation message, plus five video features on the creation-evolution battle. And, of course, you can request a copy of Tom Vail's beautiful and informative book, The Grand Canyon, A Different View, when you give a gift of $15 or more. So call today 1-800-229-WORD. That's 800-229-9673. Or go online to truthsthattransform.org. And now, before we close, Dr. Kennedy, as much as evolutionists like to claim that the evidence is on their side, that's not really the heart of the issue, is it?
Well, that's certainly very true. And the fact is that behind all of the discussion about evolution, as Sir Julian Huxley, an evolutionist, said, there is the concern about the very concept of God. And people who do not believe in God and don't want to have to give an account of their lives to God and want to live any way they want, such people need something like evolution to explain God away. And this has been acknowledged by a number of evolutionists. And that's what really is all about. How can we get rid of God and live without giving an account? Nobody's going to have to give an account to an amoeba. They're not going to stand before the judgment bar of a salamander. And if it is things like that that have really brought us about, we are unaccountable to anyone. And that ultimately, I think, is the basic motivation for why people will continue to push evolution. And evolution, as people ought to know, is the only politically protected scientific theory in history. It's the only scientific theory where you are not allowed to present any other views. You're not even allowed in our schools to present the evidence for and against evolution. It is totally biased. And as was said by Clarence Darrow, now that the shoe is on the other foot, it is the height of bigotry to present only one view, and that's exactly what the evolutionists are doing ever since they got in control.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. And finally, can you get a missing link out of a pig's tooth? If you're an evolutionist, sometimes you can. Learn about evolution's bloopers, blunders, and just plain hoaxes next time. Until then, may the truths in God's Word continue to transform your heart.